Welcome back. Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I always like to have a little help on Fridays, makes the show go by nice and fast. And there is no better guy to be talking to this Friday than Civic Media's very own political editor, Dan Schaefer. We are approaching the end of the year, Dan. It's time for some reflection.
It's time for some reflection, some recombobulation.
Some recombobulation. We're going to call the next hour. Dan's going to be with me for a whole hour, y'all. Really excited to do this with you. The Time Magazine cover, Man of the Year with Donald Trump, just dropped yesterday. How very exciting. But we're going to recombobulate 2024, and then we're going to precombobulate 2025.
That's right. That's right. Before we all get there, and we'll get discombobulated all over again.
Well, yes. And then we'll return to form, as it were. First of all, let's just on a personal, how are your holiday preparations going?
You know, it's going well. I'm not a huge holiday person generally, okay. But I have two young kids. And so that has certainly changed the holidays for me. So I've got two girls, one, eight and almost four. So they love Christmas. They're very excited. They're singing all the songs, watching all the Christmas movies. We're having a good time.
So are there any Christmas movies or songs that you are now like, I have heard this way too much and I have to have earplugs if I hear it again?
My youngest daughter loves the song "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas."
Okay,
you know this one at all?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not have young children.
It's recorded in like the 50s or something like that, and it just absolutely gets stuck in my head every time. And she likes to sing along with her little girl voice to it, which is very adorable. But as soon as anybody even mentions like a line from that song, it will be stuck in my head for the rest of the day.
Oh, it's an earworm.
It's an earworm.
Oh,
yeah,
those are the worst. I've always had like sort of waffled on all in for Christmas, but I have to admit, I do like the tree. I like having a nice tree. I like watching movies with like all the lights off and just the tree.
Just the tree. Now, do you do a real tree?
No.
We still do the real tree.
Oh, that,
we
get a real that tree is a lot of work,
year.
My
yes,
friend.
It is a lot of work. But
so do you go big or you try to get... Because it's like the reason I eventually broke and went to the fake tree was because my place was small and I needed a narrow tree.
Yeah.
And those do not exist in the real life.
No, not so much. So usually we'll just get something from like, you know, one of the hardware stores around town or something like that. This year we went to this Christmas tree farm in somewhere in Ozaukee County around Grafton or something like that. And it was one of those places you could chop down your own tree. We didn't end up doing the chop down your own tree because it was pretty cold and we didn't want to have the girls outside for too long. But
love how you say, it was because I didn't want the girls to be outside in the cold. I'll let you go with that, Dan.
All right. But they did, in true Wisconsin form, they were giving out shots of Jameson at the Christmas tree farm to keep people warm around, which, you know, that I did partake in.
This is like the axe bar. Like, let's have people chop down trees and do that with whiskey.
Only in Wisconsin.
Listen,
right?
I'm not going to over-lawyer that as concept. We'll just let that go. I'm glad. Did you find, like, the perfect tree?
We did.
That's just so much fun. My parents and I, we did real trees the whole time growing up. I was an only child. So like my parents had to sort of participate in the Christmas and holiday excitement with me because I had no siblings to sort of bounce that energy off of. And I distinctly remember standing in a lot of Stein's parking lots with my little kid arms, like holding the two trees, trying to keep them up. You know, as my dad, you got to stand back. Is the trunk straight? How is it? Turn the trees, you know, as you're trying to do that with my little kid hands and the sap all over the place. So a lot of fond memories. I know we're going to talk again next week, but hope you and your family have a beautiful weekend in your holiday preparations coming up here, Dan. But let's get into it. Donald Trump, cover of Time Magazine, Man of the Year. I got a couple of angry text messages from friends about this. And I said, Time isn't, it's not like the best person of the year.
Right.
It's just person of the year.
Right. And I think every president is pretty, anytime there's a president elected, I think it's just about every time it's a person of the year.
Right. Yeah. Like it would have been Kamala Harris had she won.
Right.
But it, you know, rolling the tape back to where we all were in January. First of all, on a personal level, neither you nor I were full-time employed by Civic Media. So we've had some changes.
That's right. We have had some changes.
But it has been a roller coaster of a year. What stands out to you on either the national or state level?
Yeah, it's been, it was, you know, I was going through the archives of the recombobulation area of the things that I had written over the course of the year to just, you know, I've been doing this, our own year in review stuff, but also to get ready for this segment here. And it was just, there's just so many elections that we've had in Wisconsin this year. And it's not just, you know, obviously the November election is going to be the big political story of the year. But just going back, like the spring election was a big deal. The summer partisan primary that had, you know, those constitutional amendments on the ballot was a big deal. I just feel like we have not been able to escape the election cycle for 1 second.
It does feel kind of like road construction, like it's 365 days a year. And we're now going to ramp up it. We'll save that for the pre-combobulation.
That's right.
For 2025. Remind folks, what was the big emphasis, if you will, in the 2024 spring election cycle? Then we'll get to the partisan primary and those constitutional amendments.
Yeah, so the spring election one, that was the statewide referendum questions on that one were the Zuckerbucks related ones, which I had written a couple columns talking about how it was just, you know, just a latest ridiculous kind of power grab from the Republicans, but they just kind of sneak these in there. And I think the other big one, at least here.
Tell people, just so in case people don't remember, what was the controversy and what was the amendment trying to do or purported to do?
Yeah, so the you know, the so-called controversy was that there were nonprofits that were funding some certain levels of election administration, especially
they basically,
in the 2020 election.
Yeah, in 2020
just trying
because
to help
of COVID,
out with,
they had
because
donated.
Of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this nonprofit that was connected to Mark Zuckerberg. And so, like, all of the Republicans got whipped into a frenzy thinking that Mark Zuckerberg was trying to steal the election by funding all of these nonprofit things, which, you know, a study after study bore out that this was not the case.
Well, and it's sort of a stupid presumption, right?
Like
the idea is that simply by donating to election administrators that somehow impacts the outcome.
Right.
And he directed the donations during COVID to the larger jurisdictions, which do admittedly lean left. But he did that because they have the largest populations and it was the hardest to do given all of the health risks because of COVID and the stupid rule in Wisconsin that we can't open a single absentee ballot until the day of the election.
Right.
Okay, so that was, and the amendment purported to do what exactly?
It was trying to ban private dollars from being in public elections. And it was just like, okay, on balance, like that can sound good. And I think that's probably why it ultimately passed. But I think it opens up the door for all sorts of other problems. And, you know, it would have been one thing if Republicans passed this and saying, hey, we're going to get, you know, all nonprofit dollars out of election administration, turn around and then properly fund election administration.
But
they
don't.
Of course, didn't do that. And they will never do that. And you know, they're continue to weaponize that process against large cities, against, you know, more liberal leaning places to create this presumption of fraud that they always like to bring in.
That's what I thought was really insidious about this, right? Is that, no private donations related to election funding. I'd be all for that as a constitutional amendment, again, if elections were funded enough. But the reality is that funding levels, especially in the bigger cities with the bigger populations, just simply aren't enough. They've also tried to ban anybody, we'll get to that because that was another constitutional amendment. So that was the spring election, had this constitutional amendment on it.
Yeah, and the column I wrote about it at the time was had the headline, good in theory, bad in practice, worse in process, which was...
That about nails it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So the other big thing from that particular spring election, at least as far as southeastern Wisconsin and the Milwaukee area is concerned, was the referendum on MPS.
Yes.
And that narrowly passing in the April election. And I think that was, you know, so often Milwaukee can And we see this with shared revenue. We see this with school funding. Milwaukee can get blamed unfairly for a lot of things. Yep. Of course, you want to hold your public officials accountable at every level. Yep. But I think it's not a case of Milwaukee was, whole scale doing all these problems, having all these problems. But it was also that, it was a sign of things to come with the referenda that we saw across the state for schools in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
MPS has its own specific problems with its administration. But the funding levels of it, I think, goes back to, just the fact that schools across the state are now doing this. And in Milwaukee, it just happened to be kind of early in the process.
Tip of the spear, of course. Folks, that's Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor here at Civic Media. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We're doing the recombobulation of 2024, some highlights, maybe some of the stuff on a state or local basis that you've forgotten about. The points I wanted to give a little zip to about what you were saying is Robin Voss a couple weeks ago on Upfront made an argument or a statement that the last biennial budget from the state represented a once-in-a-generation funding increase for public education. And I'm going to say this really clearly. You liar, Robin Voss. What the Republican-controlled state government, going back to 2010 when they took over all three branches, have done is systematically defunded public education in this state. At the same time, again, we've now seen the interrelationship between this historic reduction in overall tax burden for Wisconsin residents. Again, I had Jason Stein on earlier this week talking about this very thing, and that was exactly coupled with the single largest expenditure, line item expenditure, if you will, in the state budget, mm-hmm. education, getting slashed.
Exactly.
So what Robin Voss was saying was, yes, it was an increase over prior budget years, but you guys had gutted public education. It doesn't even keep, our educational funding doesn't even keep up with inflation. I asked Jason Stein, do you know the last time that we adjusted this public school funding formula? And he's like, well, there's tweaks every year, but the fundamental formula, he's like, I've been around the state capitol for 20 years and I can't even remember when that was. I mean, every kid has a smart book in their hands now. It's just stupid. So those were the two big ones. And the last thing I wanted to say about this and then get your reaction to this is I think there are a lot of valid criticisms of the governance of Milwaukee Public Schools. I think the school board has failed the students. I think school board elections don't get nearly enough press and coverage. We've had people that should have had no business being on a school board, on the school board. And yet this is one of those things where like both things are true. MPS governance needs to be much more accountable. They actually hired the former comptroller for the city of Milwaukee to come in and try to mm-hmm. clean it up, Ijesawa. Mm-hmm. That's true. And it's also true that the state government has systematically defunded all public school systems, rural and urban, across the state. This is one of the, you got to be able to have both ideas in your head at the same time.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing now with all these referenda, it's a shell game. What they're doing is a shell game and moving funds around and saying that like, hey, if local communities want to vote to raise their taxes, that's up to them. But at the same time, we're sitting on this, $4+ billion surplus that exists because
of these slashing of education fundings.
Absolutely.
So that was the spring 24 election. Then we had the partisan primary. Lots of action, especially on the Democratic side because of the new maps. What did you think about that partisan primary? Very briefly, we got about a minute.
Yeah, so that was one that Democrats got more organized against the constitutional amendments there, and then ended up winning essentially that battle in that partisan primary. It was the first time there was ever a constitutional amendment in a partisan primary.
Low turnout elections.
Democrats spent a lot of money to put the vote no on both of those amendment questions, and they were successful on both ends. So I think that
when we come back, Dan's going to remind us all what those two, I think, relatively more important constitutional amendment questions were during this past year's partisan primary. We're going to continue to recombobulate 2024. I'm talking with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. And don't forget, we're going to pre-combobulate 2025 and tell y'all what you might want to keep your eye on in the coming year. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.